We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Know much about sports. No, I'm just kidding. I may think I know everything or have been everywhere, but I haven't. But some of my guests have. I'm Brent Weber. I'm your host on Scorecard Scribblings. It'll be coming your way every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. And Connor, of course, a terrific run here on his sports talk show, and we wish him well as he has gone on to bigger and better things. I'm Brent Weber. Talk a little bit about me later on to introduce the show, and we will be building it up as we go. But we do appreciate you being with us. You can send me an email, brent@scorecardscribblings.com. We'll get to the point where I can answer those and Twitter stuff within the broadcast. And you'll be able to hear the interviews that we have on the show. We'll play them back for you, and we'll have them on the Scorecard Scribblings website and, of course, links to the radio station here as well. But, hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for tuning in wherever you are, wherever you may be. Baseball has been on my mind. I've taken over as the voice of the Reading Colt 45, summer collegiate ball, and so I thought nothing better than to start things off talking a little baseball with Rick Bassetti, who is a lifetime Readingite. He's a North Stater through and through. And he is the man that has helped keep that Colt 45 summer collegiate program growing and growing and growing out at Tiger Field. And if you don't know this, pretty much the Bassettis live at Tiger Field once the baseball season starts. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Brent, for having me.
I know what an awful lot of people who live here may not even, and I'm not saying this because either you or I are old, but I'm saying it because, you know, an awful lot of people know you from your political activity, your basically your social activity in helping to take part, raise, grow. You were a businessman here in Shasta County for many, many years, and, of course, still have your hand in many positive things to continue to try to make this a great place for people to live and for you and your family. Of course, you came back here. What people may not remember or realize is that Major League Baseball career that kind of, in a way, you can tell me if it's different. It makes a lot of what you were able to do now possible, those years that you spent in the big leagues.
Well, what they did teach me a lot, Brent, was that that how important it was to be a team player no matter what organization that you're with, and how soon you can learn what your role is within each organization. You know, I came home with little or no experience in life other than playing baseball. You know, I started at 19 and went till I was 30. And then I had to go back out in the world and wife and two children, and my wife was with child again. And so, you know, it was something that I had to pick up pretty quickly there. And baseball prepared me for that because I knew how to be a team player. And so in a lot of ways, the success that we're having now with the Colt 45 is bringing in other team players into the 45 system here, from our board of directors, our volunteers, our sponsors, and things like that. And so it's just kind of been, it feels natural when we're building those things.
And I want to ask you a little bit about baseball, the game, the state of Major League Baseball from a guy who played it. But to follow up on what you say there, I've been able to spend some time. I'm very, very blessed to be able to be out there some this summer and see the work being done, meet more of these young men on a day-to-day basis. I would think that you do relish that family aspect with the players. You're teaching them things. A lot of these young guys, you know, they've gone away to college for the first time, but they're still learning about life and how baseball will fit, won't fit. Most of them will just play a few more years. Who knows? Others will go on and play further. But the fact is, you really take seriously a chance to kind of help these guys grow while they're with you here in Reading.
Well, That is the main goal of the Colt 45s from the building and the of the players from the players' perspective, Brent. when these young men come to us, and what I'm finding, and you know, Bill Plummer is now a part of our organization, and he's 53 years of professional experience. You know, we sit and we have long talks about what some of the young players are not getting as well as what they are getting. And it seems to, you know, and this isn't meant negatively, but it seems like a lot of them are not learning the basic fundamentals. And so when it comes to strategies and preparation and things like that, so our goal is to do that with these young men. And we tell them, you know, it's important for them to take these things back to their clubs. And, you know, we're not coaching in the sense to say, hey, well, Coach Plummer told me this, and you're not right, and he's right. It's not like that. It's just we're showing them new ways to get better at their game and drills. And, you know, and we both teach with – this is the hard part. We both teach with stories, right? I learned this one from Lou Brock. And a lot of times the expressions I'm, you know, faced with are, who's Lou Brock? You know? And so when you've been out of the game for 35 years, those are the kinds of results that seem to come, or the expressions that you get from the kids. But, you know, that's how you teach. And the game itself has not changed. You know, some rules have changed, and the personalities and the attitudes of the players and things like that. Those, of course, are always evolving and changing. But the game itself remains pure. You know, I love that soliloquy that James Earl Jones does in Field of Dreams, mm-hmm. and it is so true. You know, baseball has stood the test of time, and it always will. And we just try to impart to the boys that, you know, when you learn how to be responsible to yourself and then responsible to your teammates, this is going to go way beyond what you're doing here in Redding, California this summer.
Right. Well, and I have been able to be a fly on the wall, and those stories, and once the young players realize who you guys are talking about, those stories are, you know, they're really what connects. It's the thread of baseball. There's a grandfather out there somewhere who's listening to this interview, and there's a son somewhere that has heard his stories of baseball, and then that person has a child that's heard those stories, and they do indeed connect. It's a very American thing without being overly hokey about it. It's certainly, when I hear you talking, telling a story, or Bill Plummer, who, folks, Big Red Machine, do I need to say any more? I listen, and I know the players do too. For those who don't know, Rick will not ever, you know, go out there and run his own glory up the flagpole, but he played in the big leagues, came up with Philadelphia, then St. Louis, was in Toronto for, I'd say, half your career, more than half your career, and finished up in Oakland, and in fact, in 79, Rick, 25 fresh legs, you played every game that year. Guys don't do that anymore in the big leagues. You played 162 in 1979.
Yeah, there were four guys that year that did that.
Wow.
And that you used to be able to wear that as a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, in 162 games in 191 days,
yeah.
That's what our season used to be. And, you know, it was not a lot of time off. But now today I was reading articles of guys over 30 or guys under 20 and how many games should they play. And they shouldn't be playing more than 135 games if they want to keep them. And these guys are signing them into, you know, nobody's going to get a big contract now because they're too old and they can't play more than 115 games a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going, wow. You know, I remember pitchers that used to log 270, 280 to 300 innings a year pitching. And now if a guy gets 175 to 190 innings pitching, you know, he's an iron man. And so, you know, those things change, and that's okay. Teaching the kids about the game remains the same. You know, hitting a cutoff man is hitting a cutoff man. How do you position yourself before the pitch? How do you improve on your game clock? You know, most of these kids don't even know what a game clock is when you get here and you start talking to them about it. And so, you know, and we still see all the errors that we've been making recently in our games are just basically lack of experience or poor game clock management, you know. And it's not a clock, folks. It's not the second hands and things like that. The game clock in baseball is having all the experience or learning with each of your failures, and how you store those, so like the next time there's a slow roller on the infielder, and he comes in and picks it up with his bare hand. He knows that it would be better just to put it in his back pocket. Don't try to make a fantastic 2% throw and throw the ball down the right field line. Just calmly take the ball and say, hand it back to the pitcher and say, okay, get a ground ball, we'll turn two. How many times do you see guys take that ball and throw it down the right field line, and now it's merry-go-round time, and it's like a little league ball, you know, run till you make me out. Everyone's throwing the ball around crazy, and so it's things like that. It's the outfielder knowing that when he picks up the ball off the wall, where is he going to be throwing it? You know, it's the shortstop knowing that he's got a very aggressive base runner, so maybe he might bluff to first and throw to third behind the runner sometimes. So when you see those plays of the day that they have on Quick Pitch on MLB.com, those don't come by accident. I know, Brent, you've heard me say that baseball is a game of percentages.
Yep.
And they're proving it more and more now because they've gone to these saber metrics and all this kind of stuff that we used to in our day. That stuff had to be kept in your head.
Yep.
It was the same information. We just kept it in our heads, you know. And, you know, Billy Martin was an absolute genius when it came to that. He better knew how the opponent was going to respond to when he provided stimulus than even they, I think they knew at times. So, that's what we're trying to impart to these kids. I know sometimes Tom and I, you know, when we're talking to them the other night, I was talking to two of the, young infielders and I said, you know, it's always better to make an error of commission versus an error of omission. I said, you make an error of commission, you'll never hear a peep out of me. But if you make one of omission, I'm going to be explaining to you why that wasn't a good thing at all. And so I was sitting there, and one of our other coaches, I think it was Brett Miller, says, and the kid's going, yeah, yeah, right, right, I understand. And he goes, okay, do you understand what it is? And he looks at me and goes, no. he didn't know the difference between commission and omission. So you explain it to him, and then he goes, oh, okay, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. So, you know, it's always better if you're trying real hard and you're trying to make the effort to make the play. No one's going to fault you when you make that physical error. We all make physical errors. We all drop the ball. We all miss the ball. We all do that. But when you're trying, but when you do those same things and you're backpedaling or you're being less than aggressive on it, you're trying to play it safe. That's the error of omission.
You know, you mentioned the saber metrics and all of the numbers, and I enjoy those things. But the one thing, I'm more of a, I guess, a humanist in this regard. What those things do not, and those things are based on things that have happened. But the factors are the ones that you mentioned, the human factors. These things are experiential that no matter what you're doing in life, you have to get out there and learn it, and you have to raise your level when you go to the next level, whatever job you are, whatever position you're in, education, sports, baseball is one where you can't put in a sabermetric statistic how someone whose wife is pregnant or whose dog just ran away, you know, and who
right.
who's you know, little kid's got the flu, and maybe they don't even speak English very well yet, and all of a sudden they're facing a Bob Gibson or a Hader or somebody like that throwing high inside heat and dusting them off the plate for the first time in their lives. All those things are factors that people don't understand. That's why you don't see guys go right from, you know, the draft to the big leagues. That's one of the many reasons.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, baseball is a, and I like describing it like this, baseball is a pastoral sport. It's very quiet at much of the time. But then when it happens in bursts of 30-yard sprints. And, you know, plays that happen in less than 4 seconds, you know, and then it's back to thinking again. Okay, now what's going to happen? Now what are I going to do? And so you have all this interplay between, you know, nine guys on the field. It's the only sport where you have nine against one offensively versus defensively.
Yeah, right.
And so anyway, it's just it's when people come to that understanding, then I think it's a little easier for them to, when they really start to grasp it. When I was playing the game actively, Brent, and, you know, we were living like in Toronto, and you'd meet people. And then they get to know you as, you know, Rick, the next door neighbor, or, Rick and Patty, you know, who live down the street type thing. And then they, when they come to the game, and I've been, you know, we would talk sometimes around the house about the game and things like that. They would often comment to me, they go, you know, the game has just totally changed for me now when I watch it, the appreciation of watch it, now that I know you personally and what you've told me before is going on in your head and in regards to the team aspect of it and what your responsibilities are. And he says, I didn't ever really take that into consideration before. I just thought people went out there and they threw a ball, hit the ball, caught the ball, and threw the ball.
Yeah.
And but it goes way beyond all that. And the fans who can grasp that and understand that element and aspect of the game are the fans that they're your hardcore ones. They're the ones that are out there. They're the ones that are out there at our games all the time. And, you know, we have some very, very loyal fans with the Colt 45s. And it looks like the way the year is going right now, we're growing that base too.
That's great. And I know you need to get to dinner. You quote unquote had an off day. You probably put in 8 hours at the field on your
not
off.
Not quite eight. But we did have to go down to the park, and you know, we had a shipment of ice cream for you folks that are going to come out and have some ice cream for the Frozen Fifth, right?
Right.
And our ice cream guy said, "Hey, I think you guys are almost at the same level ice cream as you were all of last year."
That's great.
And we said, "Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing." And then you do the other things. You know, you let the people come in that want to get on the tennis courts. They go out. So we have people down there using the tennis courts right now. You know, that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, and your presence there has made it possible, right? The team's presence
Community understands how to use the park under this new by reservation system. Mm-hmm. That we'll get more and more people down there. And, you know, I've contacted a few of the other organizations and trying to entice them to come down and use the park for some of their regular gatherings, you know, like Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm.
We have a beautiful, beautiful park over there right now. It has tons of shade. There's lots of water and electricity all around that thing. They could slide over there as opposed to being at the parking lot over behind City Hall. And I think it'd be a much, much better venue for them than where they're at. But, you know, people have to come to their own realizations. You can't, that's the old adage, you can lead them to the water, but you can't make them drink.
Right. Well, hopefully we're leading more and more of them to the water this summer with the ball club. I know you want to get to dinner, but I do want to ask you a couple of things because we've had people online asking. The Swing with the Legends has been postponed, so we're still hoping you'll have
it. It has been postponed. We're looking at the first or second week in October. When I talk to the people at the Alumni Association, because they provide us with all the former Major League Baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a losing battle for us. We could, all the guys, just had commitments to staying home for Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we couldn't get them up here. So we started talking to the Alumni Association. And right after the season's over, before the World Series and stuff might be an ideal time to do it, we might actually be able to pick up some current players to come up with our alumni. Regardless, Raleigh Finger says that he's in to be our Hall of Fame guest. He says, "You just let me know when. I had such a great time up there last year when I came up," and he wants to come out and play golf again at Riverview. and he lives in Las Vegas and plays on all the really nice courses.
Nice.
So that's the timeline that we're looking at, Brent, is maybe first or second week in October.
So that's why we have Sunday off, kind of, now.
That's why we have Sunday off, because that was going to be the dinner auction night, and then Monday also was going to be the golf tournament.
So we'll just keep people posted. I did notice that I think Patty just put up a picture, and we'll be talking more about it, of Nellie Miller from Cottonwood, who's going to be coming out on the 20th as part of a big night.
Yes, that's going to be country night, and I think we have a number of rodeo queens that will be coming out, and, you know, Nellie's going to be throwing out the first pitch. We're really excited about that. You got a chance to come out and see a world champion, not Northern California champion,
right,
or United States champion, or the world champion, okay? And come on out. She's excited about throwing the first pitch, too, I think. So it's going to be funny. We've had some interesting first pitches, you know. We had one with We Back the Blue last week, right, that was delivered by Canine Hank, Officer Hank.
That's great.
And it was more like the first bite than it was the first pitch, but that's okay. It was entertaining and fun.
And delivered a spitball.
We're looking forward to that. And if you wear anything country on June 20th, you get a dollar off your admission fee. So if you have a belt buckle on, a hat, a shirt, boots, you know, anything that denotes country, then you'll get a dollar off of your entrance.
And we're going to have a MLB night, I believe, on Friday night as well this week. Wear anything,
exactly.
Wear your MLB stuff, so get a dollar off. So.
Yep. Wear same thing. If you wear anything MLB, a shirt, a hat, you know, buttons, anything, you also receive a discount off of your admission.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time, Rick. This being the first show, people are just getting to know about it. You've been such a great friend to me and also people here in your community and your home. And just wanted to talk a little baseball. Next time we'll talk even more baseball. We appreciate you joining us and enjoy your dinner. We'll see you at the ballpark tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Thank you very much, Brent. And I have a surprise for you when you get out to the ballpark, too.
Oh, cool. Is it ice cream?
I think you'll like your surprise.
I look forward
to it. All right. You have a good night, Brent.
Hey, thanks so much. Rick Bassetti is with us. Hey, we're late for a break, I understand, Jared, so let's have some fun. We'll get some music in the future shows. We'll pump this thing up. I'll let you go deep into your rock and roll bank and find some stuff for us. All right. So we'll be back with more Scorecard Scribblings in a moment.
Hello, Americans. You know what the news is. Now you're going to know the rest of the story. This is Paul Marvey for Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. A local family needed a new heating and cooling system, but they never found anyone better than Alliance. We learned long ago that it's the people that make our systems better. Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, 221-2642, or visit us online at homecomfort.org. And that's the rest of the story. Good day.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
I want you to want me.
Get ready for a musical institution. Cheap Trick Live. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. An unbelievable night filled with all the hits. Cheap Trick, 40 years, and the legacy continues. Cheap Trick, in an unforgettable performance. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets on sale now at ReadingCivic.com, the Reading Civic box office, or by calling 530-229-0022.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Bridget, Shasta County District Attorney. I need you to help us identify and report potential victims of elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation. I urge you to join us on Saturday, June 15th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. on the Sundial Bridge as we light up the bridge purple in support of elder abuse awareness and prevention. This free event will have fun activities for the whole family and valuable information. No abuse, report abuse by calling Adult Protective Services at 225-5798.
Teach me something new, man. I need to learn. Teach me something.
Well, you got something to write with? Good. It's time to work on your interviews.
My interviews? What do I got to do?
You're going to have to learn your cliches. You're going to have to study them. You're going to have to know them. They're your friends.
Well, listen to this whole thing. This is great. This is Bull Durham,
right?
You got to
play them one day
cliches.
At a time.
Got to play. Pretty boring.
Of course it's boring. That's the point. Write it down.
One day,
all right, I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club. I know, write it down. I just want to give it my best shot.
And God, and the good, Lord, good willing, Lord willing,
things will work out. Good Lord willing, things will work out. Yep,
that's it. Bull Durham. Pulled some clips from some of my favorite baseball movies. I'll get to some other sports. Brent Weber with you on Scorecard Scribblings. Hey, this is our first shot out of the gate. I've been a longtime sports person, but got into news for a while. You may remember me at KRCR, but had to get back into doing things I love with my family and the outdoors and sports. So I am just tickled to be hosting Scorecard Scribblings. I've got a website. I haven't put anything new on there. Carl Bott joining us now. Carl, I mean, I've got the website, but I haven't put my new stuff on there. So we call this a soft opening of the show. But Carl Bott joins us now, calling in. I'm like, how could we get a caller? I just started the show, but it's the boss.
Well, it is a soft opening, and we're going to be running a lot of spots for you and have you roll through on the show again. But we're really glad that you've joined our team here. Not just for your announcing ability, but for your background, the way you're going to help us in several other areas also. So we feel very lucky to have you join with us at KCNR.
Well, I really appreciate it, Carl. We're having fun. We want to bring multimedia to the studios. We hope we can work on that. In fact, I was going to try to Facebook Live during my broadcast recorded. Then I realized I was waiting for a phone call from Ryan Spitz, who is probably going to be pushed back to next week. I'll tell you a little bit about who he is. But it's fun. We're in that time where people want to, once they like you, they want to consume what you're saying and doing, and you want to make it easy for them. And we're going to work towards doing that here. And, hey, the Colt 45's broadcast has just been a blast for me, and doing those games has been fun. So hoping we're getting more and more listeners and more fans to keep tuning in. I know, I appreciate your help.
Well, we're glad that you we're glad you were available so we could start moving forward again. This is our fifth year of broadcasting the Colt 45s, and we sincerely enjoy it. We really believe this is an important part of, you know, the makeup of our community. It's not just, you know, it's not just business, but it's also the arts, but it's also our sports. So Colt 45s play a big part during the summer, you know, the boys' summer, and then, of course, high school football. All of this is from our community here. So we feel fortunate that we live in an area that we can do this, and that we've got the ability at KCNR to bring these activities to our audience.
Well, we're going to be doing that. We'll be zoning in on high school football. We've already been talking about it. Looking forward to that. And I'm sure I'll come up with some old stories, too, of glory days past, and we'll have glory days in the future for these young men and women out there. But it is a big part of the community. Those people, and Carl, I could ask you this because, obviously, this is your community as well. And, you know, when Rick Bossetti was talking about Tiger Field and the park there around the field, what he was referring to is it had become, for too many people, a danger zone. And part of it was an eyesore with transients, and what he's pointed out is through a concerted effort, we're talking about his nonprofit, the Colt 45s are a nonprofit, but also with all of those organizations, including our radio station, sponsoring the fence signs and that money going to cleaning up, putting up fences, keeping people out that shouldn't be there, thus not desecrating the place and making it a, you know, more of a go-to place for our community, because it's a beautiful location, and I think it's there. We'll be pleasantly surprised, those who haven't been out to the ballpark, just to see the changes. You've been out several times, I know, already this year, and just the little changes from the cleaned up bathrooms to the security in the parking to the new fencing. It's getting in the right direction, and that's important to all of us as individuals, families, communities, and business owners.
Well, you know, and people say, well, fencing it off won't work. Well, it does work, and it has worked. And we're in this, we're in situations where that, you know, you don't want to fence off an area, but if you don't fence it off, the public really can't use it because it's taken over by people that have, that leave needles, that there's all types of things going on you don't want your family to see. But, you know, that's kind of, but that's been handled at South, at Tiger Field and South City Park. Mm-hmm. We don't have those problems. You feel comfortable walking to your car, walking back. The games are great. And the season has just been really good so far. And and our community supporting it. So we're just, anyway, like I said, I just want to call you and congratulate you on your first show. And we're going to, continue this, because your knowledge of sports and all of it, not just local sports, but regional, state, and national, is just top notch. So welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, Carl. We appreciate it. Carl Bott calling in. Thanks so much. We spoke with Rick Bassetti just a moment ago, too. And, you know, as I said, many of you people may have heard Rick's name. You know, he's involved with the Colt 45s. Didn't realize, you know, how long he played in the big leagues. He mentioned Bill Plummer, who, you know, his son Billy plays for the Colt 45s, plays at Shasta. But Bill was a major league catcher, part of the Big Red Machine, and just many stories. And in fact, Bill is in the Hall of Fame. He's not a Hall of Famer. People may not realize this, and I've never talked to him about it. He's, again, also a very humble person, but loves to talk baseball. Same thing with Rick. Love to talk baseball. Those guys, you can just walk in on a normal conversation, and they will talk baseball and stories about this player or that player and so on, and it's really a treat. But I haven't asked him about this one yet, and I'm looking forward to it. And maybe you know at home how Bill Plummer is in the Hall of Fame. It was in the 70s, and Rawlings made a deal with Major League Baseball to become the first, I believe, the first official supplier of baseballs. Of course, this is a topic for today for us to talk about the balls they're using now that obviously are juiced a little bit. But then in the 70s, so that it was the first time that they had a uniform baseball. And Bill Plummer, I can't even remember who the pitcher was, but Bill Plummer and the umpire, I believe, and the pitcher signed the ball from the first pitch, and it is in the Hall of Fame. From the first pitch from Rawlings as the official baseball, and it's in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, Bill may be there. He's probably in there, recognized as part of the Big Red Machine, too. But in my personal opinion, and again, you can date it here. I'm 50 something, and I grew up there in Atlanta. But my family was from Ohio, and so we, you know, was always a Reds fan. And that Big Red Machine to me is the greatest team of all time. Never saw the 27 Yankees, so can't really weigh in on that. So that's kind of the way it is. Jared, how long are we going to go here till we take a little break? We're going to do that. We're going to take a little break. Maybe we'll get another movie, baseball movie moment coming back. I'll let Jared surprise me, but we'll talk a little more baseball. I'll tell you about who our guest was to be tonight. We'll hear from him a little bit via Facebook. This is a guy who spent 5 days running over 300 miles, and hopefully we'll get him on next week. But we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from break. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks for being with us. We'll be here until 7.
Come on, let's sit down together. I could stay here forever. Friendly smiles, family and friends.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The decline of moral values in American culture seems to be in sync with the rejection of the teachings of mainstream American churches. According to churchathome.org, most Americans selecting none as their religious affiliation still believe in God, but are disillusioned with modern American Christianity. Churches are seen as too judgmental and too political and not relevant to solving the problems of modern life. We at Pacific Justice Institute work to combat this false perception by showing how real Christianity can practically and lovingly solve problems through the integration of law, politics, and faith.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hey, Evelyn, can I ask you a question? You got a moment?
Mm-hmm. Which team do you play for?
This one's from a league of their own.
I'm a peach.
Well, I was just wondering, because I couldn't figure out why you would throw home when we've got a two-run lead. You let the tying run get on second, and we lost the lead because of you. Now you start using your head.
I edited the
Are you crying?
A part of that, because...
No.
Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball.
It's one of the sweetest movies. Also, even not necessarily historically accurate. And my parents remember those when the Peaches and these other teams played. And it got those women a lot of attention. It was during World War II. And women's baseball was a thing. And it turned out it was a competitive thing. And... so they have a thing in the Hall of Fame. League of Their Own, absolutely love that movie. Penny Marshall, I believe, directed that. And that was Tom Hanks and the actress, and I can't remember her name, but there's no crying in baseball. I did have
Gina Davis?
Gina Davis was in it.
Oh, okay.
And then, Rosie O'Donnell was in it. Mm-hmm. Madonna was in it.
It's been a long time since
Madonna
I've seen it.
Madonna was in it. I can't remember her character name. It had great actors in it. David Strathairn, who I think then he won an Academy Award for, or he was nominated for, you know, straight actor. But he played a pretty straight role in that one. But I absolutely adore that movie. I did have to edit the little part where he said, you know, your head, it's that thing halfway between your bleep and your bleep and whatever. And it was just, but it's still... very funny. I know you mentioned this to me, Jared, during the break, about, and I mentioned it with Rick Bassetti, and I don't really have the info pulled up, but I know you did. And we'll talk about this later. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings with the sports guy, Brent Weber. You can learn more about me on scorecardscribblings.com. And it may not be a whole lot of new info on there, but you can find it and send me an email if you'd like. But Jared was mentioning, and Rick Bassetti and I talked, just touched briefly on the home runs in baseball. Do you have that stat still handy? It's from an ESPN.com article, I believe. And it's about the influx of home runs. We've been seeing them, and everybody says, oh, you know, people love the long ball, but it's getting out of control.
It says in the entire decade of 1990s, when half the league was supposedly using steroids, there were 12 seven-homer games. In the 1980s, there were six. We've already matched that total on June 10th.
So not even half a season, and it's double the big bomb output in that manner of what we had during the so-called steroids era. I have my opinions about steroids. Probably something that, again, when I get a guest that I can go toe-to-toe with on this, we can certainly do that. I am of the side that it's revisionist history to say, oh, we shouldn't count those records. Everybody knew what was going on, people. I was starting my career. I worked in network sports at that time. I worked in local sports. I covered Major League Baseball teams. Everybody knew these guys were doing it in the minors, getting big muscles. They didn't have anything better to do. The Huntsville A's with Canseco and McGuire and those guys, they were already working very hard to get big, and baseball liked it. Baseball liked that home run chase. And so to then take the posture that these guys were all some kind of beasts because, you know, they did something. Once baseball took a stand, began testing for anabolic steroids, began testing for performance-enhancing drugs, once they did this, that's where, period, end of story. Okay, if a guy gets caught, faces the penalties, he's done. But anything that happened before that, if you don't like it, that was baseball. That's the way it was. Now we're looking at, and I hope it doesn't continue, because over the years, and you heard me mention about Bill Plummer and the Rawlings ball, and I've been around baseball enough to know that over the years, changes in the ball have, on occasion, created some issues. And I'm going to study up on this a little bit more, Jared, but they used to be able to go down to the factories where they made the balls. Now they use so many baseballs, and I believe more of them are made in one place. They're not in some bizarre, hidden-off way. In Major League Baseball, they never use a scuffed ball, never. So if the ball touches the dirt, they throw it out. That's a thing that's pretty new in the last 5 years. Certainly it's become so noticeable. Because in the old days, quote unquote, heck, the 90s, that's the old days. I mean, as long as I could remember, but certainly 90s and prior, it was if you got a good clean ball, as long as there's not an obvious scuff, and pitchers would actually look for the ball with a scuff because if they were throwing breaking balls, they could get more movement per se or, you know, that kind of thing. And now, I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't know how much baseball you actually watch, but just watch next time. It is almost ridiculous. The catcher just throws it out. He doesn't even give it to the umpire to throw out. If it hits the dirt, throws it to the ball boy. It's crazy. So back to the home run thing you were mentioning. I just think that this is the first year American, national, and minor leagues look at their numbers. So baseball has taken over. I think there might be a profit margin on it somewhere. But baseball, Major League Baseball now, they're all using the same balls. And minor league home runs are up big time. And, you know, developmentally, you begin to talk about, well, we have to give the pitchers back something. No, what you actually do is you go back to next year. I would imagine we will see production of a ball that they will test. They claim, you know, they'll always claim that, oh, no, this isn't any bouncier than the other. Whatever they're doing in the design of the baseballs, the way they're manufacturing, the tightness of the core, the type of leather, whatever they're doing, it's certainly affecting it. It's not steroids. It's not juicing. It's not better hitters. Hitters are good, but there's dilution of talent. You know, there's so many players now that imagine when it was the eight teams in the American League and eight teams in the National. Of course, population was half of what it is. It's a totally different thing. But my point there being balls are not normal. Next year they need to dial it back a little bit because I don't think it's that fun. And we'll see. Attendance continues to drop, though interaction with baseball has never been greater volume-wise. There's more people watching MLB the MLB app, which is what I watch. And we live in a place where we can't go to MLB games without it being a full day. So, Brent Weber with you. My second guest is not going to – he didn't even know you – he didn't realize he was going to – I was going to talk about him, and I was trying to get up to Shasta. His name's Ryan Spitz, and you can find him on Facebook. But hopefully we'll be able to talk to Ryan next week. Ryan is sleeping right now, I would assume, and he's with his family. Maybe he's eating. But Ryan Spitz is an adventure racer. He's a trail runner. He's an ultra marathoner professionally. This is much of what he does. He's involved with California Untamed. It's a new long-distance event that I think the world's going to really like it. And he's one of the founders of this thing, one of the people that's pushing this. And they're working with the Adventure District in Northern California, which is also a new thing. And, Ryan is the head of the Shasta Trail Runs, and that's where I got to know him. And what Ryan and many of his peers and others that are in the ultra-distance running community have come up with, a way to show off these incredible trails in Northern California that, I mean, I'm a day trail guy. I go, if it takes me more than 3 or 4 hours, I'm probably not going to, or not even 3 or 4 hours, 5 miles. I'm probably, I go to ones that are close by, but I absolutely love, driving somewhere, hiking a section of trail. And there are more people advancing into trail running than any of the adventure sports, any of the action sports. There's some numbers out there that if you read Outside Magazine and so on, they're actually concerned, and that kind of thing. And, so what Ryan has come up with, and we'll talk to him more about it, but I want to play a little bit of when he arrived. This was the test run, per se, for California Untamed. Ryan ran this event, and I'll tell you what it's all about, but it was 5 days. Let's see if I can pull that up. I'm pulling up multiple windows as we speak, but what is the name of it? Help me out here, Brent. Should have had that pulled up for you already. But California Untamed is – I've got you a nice little rundown of what he's done, because I think this is more than – and you know what? You don't have to be this nuts about your – am I supposed to take a break? Okay. You don't have to be this nuts about what you'd like to do, exercising. I would never do this. I have friends who are ultra athletes. I could never do something like this, but I absolutely am so jazzed up to see guys doing stuff like this. And just trying to find this on the web because they've been talking about it, and here it is. Okay, Untamed, California Untamed, Untamed California. Where is it? Okay, Brent, come on. You can't be doing this to people. So California Untamed site. There it is. Got it. There it is. Maybe I got it. All right. Well, California Untamed. I'm looking at it on YouTube now, which isn't the exact place that I wanted to go for it. Untamed California is what they're showing. But California Untamed, and we'll talk again more about it next week. I'll put on our website some more about it. But essentially, he just finished 5 days starting in Arcata, starting on the coast, and going through the Northern California mountains. The first night he spent in the hotel, and the rest of the night you camp. So they start at a certain time every day, and what it will be when it's a competition is there'll be top adventure racers, ultra marathoners from around the world, believe me, are going to come and do this. And it's a thing, and it will be seen worldwide. In other parts of the world, adventure countries, this kind of stuff is, these guys are gods. And Ryan Spitz wouldn't tell you he should be a god, but as an athlete, 5 days in a row, he ran more than a marathon through the mountains, up and down, and each you would have a certain distance you had to finish that day whenever you finished it, and then you started a certain time the next day. They will figure out how to make it a competition at the end where guys will start on staggered times, but he was the first one to actually run this trail. So I'm looking forward to hearing more from him about what he experienced out there on the trail. He finished it today. It was the only non-marathon distance. They made the last day 20 miles, and he finished running up Mount Shasta, up to Bunny Flats. So that was the finish, not to, all the way to the top of Mount Shasta, but still that's the type of elevation up and down that he was doing. And so his last day is only 20 miles of the race, and it is a 6 days, 330 miles of epic terrain. And I'm just going to play this in the background and put my mic on it. But this is on the Facebook page. They were actually streaming it live on California Untamed. His family was there. I'll go past that. I want to get to the live arrival. Oh, there it is. But his family's there. Yeah, here it is. Listen. Let's listen to some of this. And that's the family coming in. He's coming down Bunny Flats, jogging. Jogging. And he's got a video crew, Tony Horde, a good friend of mine. I know he's got some drone footage. Oh, I saw the drone in that shot. So he'll drone footage of this. Oh, right. Everybody's falling in the snow so they can get to the finish line and cool off at the very end. But got an interview with Ryan, and there were, you know, quite a few people there. Let's listen to some of this interview with Ryan talking about the experience. And this is from their Facebook page. This is with his kids and his family. See if I can find him. We're going to be talking more to him about this. Here you go.
I know Eric and I were like, okay,
Eric
it's
Leslie.
Like got way later than we thought. And so we were going downhill. I couldn't do downhills because of my tendon and ankles. So like it was a 6 or 7 rocky downhill. So I was having fun. And the trail was like, it was dark at that point. Trail was having us then go left like to the river. So like, okay, cool, we're almost done. No bridge, just straight.
River. He's talking about one of the sections where they.
We were sharing.
He did this course, so he. But it's everything's different when it gets dark.
So do we go like 2 miles back uphill till they get another forest road and loop around and put us in? Probably like 2 a.m. And we're like, or do we just link arms and forge it? So we linked arms and forged it.
Now, that was just one of the sections, and you know we'll talk more, but I think you'll be here's some more with the family and with Eric Leslie. This is a little more with Ryan Spitz, who just completed the first Untamed run, along with Eric Leslie, who's going to be doing a film about it, from helping to promote it. But I think my point of being excited about this is good for the North State. These things, sorry, I know it's probably driving me crazy, that noise. These things build the reasons why people want to come here, you know, and where some industries have left and gone and they're never coming back. Tourism, when it comes to ecotourism, when it comes to trails, is a big deal. Here's Ryan.
It's 3 times longer than I've ever done. And knowing there's a lot of unknown for the routes, but again, that was part of the surprise and I think excitement factor that we had on generally stepping into the unknown on what it was going to be like out in that country that I really don't think anyone knows out there.
Yeah, that's great. That's Ryan Spitz. So you can hear more on that interview. I'll link to on my website as well. We've got a couple of minutes to go here, so just want to take care of some business. Jared, you know, I had totally lost my mind. I was using the pocket schedule, and it did not have tomorrow night's game on it. But there is a game tomorrow.
Ah, see? I'm glad you told me. I would have showed up Friday.
Sorry, buddy. There is a game tomorrow night.
That's all right.
7:15. We have the Fresno A's coming in to play the Colt 45. You can listen to that game here. And, of course, you can always go to the Colt 45's page on your phone. Scroll down to listen live, and you can listen to it out at the ballpark. Probably want to put your headphones on. People may not want to hear me making the call, but I'll be bringing you the call of those games. 3 games this weekend, no game on Sunday, and then they'll play again the next week. So Colt 45's baseball, broadcast tomorrow. We begin at 7 o'clock or right after the news, depending on which comes first. And then if you're going out to the ballpark, gates open at 6:30, but we'll have broadcast the next 3 nights. Next week, every Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we're going to be bringing you different interviews, a look at different subjects. I'm an interview guy. I have a lot of contacts in the industry, and I'm only saying that to raise the bar for myself because I'm getting back into the sports interview thing, and hopefully I can find some guests locally, nationally, and perhaps even internationally so we can have some fun talking sports. I call it Scorecard Scribblings. I wrote a book by that name, Scorecard Scribblings from an Ordinary Sports Guy. And you can get a copy of that. Download it to your Kindle. That's the best one to do because that's the newest version on it. Go to my website, scorecardscribblings.com. Or send me an email if you want to find out how to sponsor or more. I'm Brent Weber. We'll see you next week.
Scales and clocks.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.